Well, how's everybody? It's like yesterday when I was here. Today when I was picked up at Dulles and got transferred to Sheraton over here, 5 minutes away, then coming over to this hall, I felt like I was in a dream. It was really like yesterday. And even the people sitting on the front row, it's like last It's almost identical last year, but I have to, by faith, declare it's not yesterday. Amen. We have all gone on and have grown in Christ for another year.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Is this thing on? I just assume you can hear me. And we have... another year in the Lord, another year under His blessing. Would you not agree with me?
Amen.
Another year of building up with the saints in the churches, another year in His precious and glorious recovery. However, we all are also 1 year older, which would make this weekend's subject quite relevant. And what is this general subject you read with me of this weekend?
Four new things in God's economy.
Let's read it again. Right.
Four new things in God's economy.
Well, the fact of the matter is there are many new things in the Bible. If you really want something new, you better come to the Bible. Even as we were singing just now so joyously, I remember two places in Revelation where it says they sang a new song.
Amen.
You know, one of these days we're going to sing a song that we have never sung.
Amen.
A new song.
Amen.
A new praise, with new praise. With a new worship to the Lamb and to God. Well, everything with God is new. And the song we just sang, number 16, is just a partial listing of so many wonderful new things related to God and related to God's economy. However, this weekend, I'd like to take this opportunity to spend some time with you on perhaps the four major new things in God's economy. All right? There are many new things, but we're going to dwell in just four, and these four are the primary new things. You can say almost all the other new things come from these four new things. All right? Now, these four things are absolutely tremendous, colossal, deep, rich, high. I mean, it is just magnificent. I mean, it is beyond words that we have to describe. And they are also very full. All these four things are extremely full. And so we really don't have the time to have any kind of, you know, even close to a detailed treatment of the subject as they deserve. But that's all the time we have, four meetings. And so I would consider this a refresher course for some of you. And sorry to say, I'm not trying here to say something bad about you or condemn you or any way, but I must say the truth. I'm even somewhat concerned that some of us who have been around here for some time, even tonight, are not so clear about these four new things. You may know them, you know, the heading, the word, but I mean the substance, the reality the significance of these four things. So it is a refresher course. And for some among us who are new or young, and I would say this is can be considered as an introductory course to these four new things. Now, I use the word course, but I must exercise myself not to treat these meetings like a class or, you know, in an academic way or even just simply in some kind of a doctrinal way. I don't want to do that. I hope that the Lord would be gracious to us to visit us meeting by meeting. Amen. To use these four things to speak to us, to elevate our vision of his economy, and thus to bring us all a little deeper into his work in us in this age. The first of the four new things in God's economy is a new covenant. That's why we're here tonight. And I'm going to tell you what the other three things are. Maybe you have guessed by now. Tomorrow morning, we're going to spend some time on a new creation. Huge subject, a new creation. And tomorrow evening, a new man. There's a new man. Amen. In God's economy. Amen. That means there's an old man. Am I right? In fact, the fact that we say there's a new four new things, that means there, by implication, there are four old things. There is indeed an old covenant. There is indeed an old creation, right? And there certainly is an old man. And the last meeting, Lord's Day, you all should know what I'm going to talk about, and that is a new Jerusalem. Amen? That means there's an old Jerusalem, as we will see. So four old things in contrast with four new things. And I think even just getting these four new things, you have already an idea how important these things are, this subject is. Now, first of all, I must say something about new, because this is a conference on new. And probably the best way to talk about new is to talk about old. So I said already, all of us are 1 year, as they say, older. Even a baby just was born. I have now a five-year-old or close to five-year-old granddaughter and a grandson who have just become one. Praise the Lord. Now, he's only one, right? But you would not say, hey, Otis, that's his name. Otis Bates is 1 year young. You don't say this, do you? I mean, he's just a baby boy, but you don't say he's 1 year young. What do you say?
1 year old.
1 year old. I mean, this 1 year baby is old. It's an old baby. Am I right? See how fast you get old? Actually, I submit that from the moment you come out of the womb, you start aging. You start to get old. You start the process, an aging process. You agree with me? Unfortunately, that is exactly what's happening. Because of the fall, because of what happened with Adam, our ancestor, because of his transgression and because of the coming in of this thing called sin. And because sin came in, Roman tells us death came with it. Death came through sin. And so the whole world today is not only sinful, but the whole world today is what? Is permeated with death. And I would like to tell you, one of the most obvious characteristics of death, or the working or the operation of this death, is aging. Is the process of becoming old. Now, I'm not a scientist, a physicist, but I do know from high school there is a certain law called the second law of thermodynamics. Am I right? And any scientists here care to tell me what that law is? I think, if I remember correctly, it says something in my layman's term that everything in this universe, in fact, the universe itself, is what? Is in a process of what? What is that word? Entropy. Am I right? Entropy. Are you a scientist? You know, entropy means a process of something, what? Huh? Becoming disorderly, becoming, well, in my words, becoming old. It's a law. It's a law. Whereas eternity never gets old. But man gets old. Actually, before man got old, a vast part of this universe, or the universe itself, already got contaminated by the source of death. That is Satan himself. And so the entire universe got into a chaotic state. And the whole process of millions and billions of years, however long the universe has been around, it is in that process of aging. And today even scientists say, they slice up the universe and say, how old is this universe? Am I right? They're studying the age of this universe. It is aging. It is getting old. And so man was created and brought into this whole old heaven and the old earth. Although he was not yet contaminated by that death, still he does not have the essence of eternity in him. He does not have something that does not age in him. He does not have something that will keep him in newness, in permanent newness. Why? Because he has not received the very God, the very eternal God into him. The very God is the only new thing in this universe. Only God is new. Everything else is old or getting old. Especially with the devil's rebellion, bringing the whole old creation into vanity, into corruption. Therefore, Paul in Romans 8 says that the whole creation has been groaning to be delivered from that oldness, from that destiny of corruption and chaos and disintegration and eventually destruction. So they are panting. They are waiting. They are longing for a deliverance, an emancipation from that curse of aging. They are looking forward to what? To the manifestation of the sons of God. And so today, just even by that little speaking here, you realize that God's central work in his economy is to produce sons. His sons. Why? Because only his sons are those who have received his life, his nature, his life which is eternal, his nature that is forever new. And by receiving and partaking, receiving this life and partaking of this nature, there would be a work. Listen. A work of reversal of this aging process. How about that? I think that would make every female excited. What? You found a cream? You found a lotion? You found something that will reverse aging in me? I would like to tell you, yes. And you don't need to pay an arm and a leg for it. Isn't that good news? Amen. Sisters, is that good news? They tried to find who is that man, that Spaniard, the fountain of youth, huh? In Florida or wherever, never found it. It's a mirage. It does not exist. Well, I should say it does exist, but not in Florida for sure. This is not just a fountain of youth. There is a fountain of living waters. Amen. That is the fountain of eternity. Amen. You drink that water, I tell you, you have eternal life. How about this? Oh, the gospel. What a gospel this is. What is oldness? Oldness means something. Aging, I mentioned already. Something that is becoming ancient. Something that is becoming weak, something that has the element of death operating in it, something that is becoming worn, obsolete, decrepit, is a biblical word. Something that has become useless. Something that is losing in its vigor, vitality, health. Something that is dying. Something that is ready to be discarded. Something that is ready to be tossed away. Something that is ready to disappear. This is also a biblical word, referring to the old covenant. That's old. That's oldness. Brothers and sisters, the whole universe is in that state. And every human being born after Adam is under that curse. There's no way around it. Whether you're a good guy or a bad guy, it does not matter. You're still getting old. However, some are getting old quicker. And I, if you want to get old quicker, I can help you. You just sin more. You just sin more. You will die more. I guarantee you that. Well, the whole situation has become an old thing in the eyes of God. The heaven is old, the earth is old. Man, because of fall, has become old. Everything. Yet God is new. God is new. He wants everything new. He made everything new. You know, the moment you drive your new BMW off the lot, it is an old car. It has instantly, after it crosses that curb, it has lost its value. It has depreciated. Am I right? It still smells new, but it is a used car. Pre-owned BMW. Am I right? And it won't take that much time for it really to show signs of oldness. So all the new things are just, what? A lie. A lie. Even your new wife is a lie. Or your new husband. You know, they call them bridegroom. You know, Chinese, bride and bridegroom means new gentleman and new lady. That's the, am I right, Chinese saints? The literal meaning is new gentleman, new lady. What a lie. What a big fat lie that is. It's only new for one day. Sometimes even before this wedding ceremony is over, it has become old already. Nothing is new. Saints, only God is new. Amen. He is not only new, He is newness itself. Amen. Newness is not a thing. Newness is more than a condition. Newness is a person. Amen. That is the very triune God. You have Him, you are new, and you have newness. Now, what is God doing in light of all this huge, big tragedy, disaster that has happened? God will never give up His original intention and plan. Now, even with this fall, this terrible fall, it gave God even the best setting to demonstrate His multifarious wisdom. Amen. If nothing happened, it doesn't take that much wisdom and power. But because everything is so messed up, it really takes some skills and wisdom and power to reverse the situation. And so Satan helped God. Satan just teed it up for God. God would say, Satan, do what you want. Do what you want. And Satan went to work and caused havoc in this universe. Destruction everywhere. God says, are you finished? Are you done? Satan say, yeah, see what you can do. Everything is dying. Everything is aging. Everything is getting brown. Everything is... See what you can do. What did God do? What did God do? So I come to the message tonight. All those are introductory speaking. God had a plan. It's called a plan of renewal, a plan of revival, a plan of restoration. And this work of renewal is the cornerstone, the marker, the chief marker of God's work. I would dare say this is the central work of God, to renew this universe by renewing its top creature, man, who is created in his image and with his likeness. That's what he will do. But first, God would do something in the way of giving man a picture, a photograph, something that would describe what he is going to do. What is that? Let me tell you. That is what we call the Old Covenant. All right? That is the Old Covenant. That Old Covenant is not the real thing. It has all the signs and types and pictures of the real thing, of the reality. But the pictures are important. The pictures are important. And so he raised up the called race, and that is Israel, the Jews, an earthly people. And he made a covenant with them, with these people. That covenant, today we call it the Old Covenant, the First Covenant, the Lesser Covenant, or Inferior Covenant, a covenant that will pass away, a covenant that itself will become old and useless. Nevertheless, it was God's wisdom to have such a covenant with his earthly people, all of whom are also a type of his people eventually, his people in the new age, the age of the new covenant. One day, this covenant will cease because it's not meant to be permanent. It is not the real thing. So one day, that day had to come. And oh, what a glorious day.
Amen.
You know what is that day? That is the day that not only he made that certain old covenant with his earthly people through the hands of an old Moses with the help of the law. This new covenant, the real thing, the thing that will never pass away, this new covenant is made by what? Established, enacted, mediated, even what? Activated by he himself. So he had to come, the triune God had to come in his own person out of eternity to put on the likeness of something old. Lived amongst the old creation. And die after 33 and a half years on that cross. And on that cross, listen, he shed his blood. Which blood was needed? Just like the blood of bulls and goats in the old days. The blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. That blood is what will establish the new covenant, a new covenant. When he did that, the whole old covenant, which is a shadow, just a shadow, is over. Is over. It's of no use. It is to be thrown away. Now, a new permanent covenant. The real covenant between God and man has been established. And brothers and sisters, we need to know what that covenant is all about. We are the people of that covenant. Not of the old, but of the new. You know, recently there's this Gaza, you know, this war, whatever they call it, this conflict over there in Palestine. You know, every few years there's just this flare-up. And that is with God's Old Testament people. Even though they're earthly, even though they are of the flesh, still they are God's people on the earth. They are the sand on the seashore, much like us, the New Testament believers, are the stars in the heavens. We're all of Abraham, who preceded the law, who received, actually, the very first covenant, even predating the Mosaic covenant, and that is the covenant of promise. We actually are inheritors of that promise. Amen. In a heavenly manner. Amen. Now, what am I talking about? Oh, Israel. Okay. Well, you don't need to worry about Israel. You know, whether they will survive this or that. Let me tell you, God is taking care of Israel. God has a covenant with them. Even though it is physical, it is, you know, a shadow. God is still the faithful God, having made certain promises to their forefathers. And when God made a covenant, which means, in today's term, a contract, a signed contract, legally binding contract, more than an agreement, you can go to court with it. That covenant, that God made, God will never turn back. He will be faithful to Israel. Well, we're not talking about Israel. We're talking about us, the true Israel, the real Jews. Now, with all of this, I come to tonight. That is, this first new thing in God's economy is absolutely important Because this is the very basis. This is the very foundation. This is the very ground. I said already, even a legally binding ground. Something that God's righteousness is held against. This covenant is supremely important in our experience of his work of renewal. It's based on this that he is renewing us. It's based on this he is what? Working out something new. The new creation. A new man. Even ultimately a new Jerusalem. We must know this covenant, brothers and sisters. Now, I will be rather quick here because I'm not here getting into the depth, but just want to give you a kind of a cursory refresher of all the pertinent and important aspects of this covenant. All right? This covenant, let me just say this. This is the main point, right? The content of this wonderful new covenant are four things. You have to remember these four things. It is God's assurance of four matters, four things that must happen and will happen. Number one, and that is that he will take away our sins completely. He will be propitious. He will grant us forgiveness, total forgiveness of sins. As far as the east is from the west, so will our sins be that far away from us. Isn't this a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters? Amen. To sinners like us? Amen. We read that verse. And my Bible here is not open to Hebrews 8 because Hebrews 8 is a quote of Jeremiah 31. Amen. That's where this new covenant was first mentioned. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in those days when I led them out of Egypt. That is at Mount Sinai. Which covenant they broke. This covenant, he said, that I will make with them after those days. Not in this sequence, but certainly in terms of our experience is number one, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Brothers and sisters, this would make you jump up and shout for joy. Amen. This is the first point in this new covenant. The first thing is to clear away the problem of sin between God and man because if this problem is not taken care of, he couldn't do his further work in us. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He cannot tolerate anything sinful because it is absolutely against his nature. So he died. He shed his blood. Based on that blood, there is forgiveness of sins. And this is the very first thing. He will take away our sins as the Lamb of God. Amen?
Amen,
amen, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
My sins have been taken away.
Amen.
My goodness. The burden of sin has been removed from my shoulders.
Amen.
I'm no longer depressed, oppressed. by its curse, by its guilt, by its consequence, which is the lake of fire. That was once upon a time my fate and my destiny, but no more, brothers and sisters. Amen. This covenant ensures that they will not happen to me or you.
Amen.
The second thing, that this contract that God has signed, that he will do, is that he will what? He will put himself as life into us, particularly into our spirit. And that, I said he put himself into us. He put himself into us in a certain form. That form is called the law of life. Now I have no time to get into this. This is really, really tremendous, but I have no time. Anyway, he installed himself as the law. I would say a new law. A law of the divine life into us, which law will work and operate and be developed within us to spread into all of our inward parts. How about this? How about this? I tell you, that law is just the triune God himself. In the form of a principle, an automatic principle, like gravity. It will always work. And he's going to spread within us. He's going to spread this law. And in fact, that's how he will renew us, part by part. Mind, emotion, and will, and eventually even our body. The third thing that this contract, this covenant, new covenant, ensures is, listen to this, that we will be his people.
Amen.
And he will be our God.
Amen.
Now this is different than the Jews. The Jews were God's people, but they were God's people outwardly and not inwardly. They do not possess the life of God, and so therefore they could not call God their Father, just Jehovah. But my brothers and sisters today, what kind of people of God are we? We are sons of God.
Amen.
We are people in that sense.
Amen.
We are people with his life and nature. That's totally different. That is the third part of this new covenant. Now, the fourth part is wonderful. The fourth part that this covenant ensures is that we will have the spontaneous inward ability, capacity to know him from the smallest to the greatest. Do you count that as a blessing or what? Brothers and sisters, we can know God. We can know God. I mean, subjectively. I mean, inwardly. I believe all of you know God to a certain extent. And every day, aren't we here seeking to know him?
Amen.
That I may know him? I tell you, we can know him because of this covenant.
Amen.
Without this covenant, we cannot know him. We would not have that ability. But this covenant ensures that we acquire such an ability to know God directly, not indirectly, but directly. You don't need a teacher. You don't need a pastor. You don't need a mediator. You can know God directly.
Amen.
You can contact him directly. So these are the four things, all right? So this new covenant, which is mysterious, which is abstract, was consummated when the Lord Jesus died. All the things of the old covenant all but foreshadow these coming things. There's also the blood there, you see. There was also the law there, not the law of life, but the law of letters. It's there. They are just a picture, I said again. Today, we have the real thing. Now, let me give you a quick key comparison between the old covenant and the new. The one that was actually an addition. It was not planned. It was just an addition. Therefore, the day comes, it will be abolished. And the one that is eternal, the real one, this present covenant that we enjoy today. Okay, the old covenant. Number one, it's ordained in the hand of Moses. Number two, it's dedicated with the blood of bulls and goats. That means animals. Number three, it's based on the law, which is lifeless. And it, this old covenant, requires man to work and not to believe. You have to work for it. And finally, it applies only to a limited age called the Old Testament age for a couple of thousand years. That's it. That's the end of it. Throw away. The new covenant, number one, it's accomplished by Jesus Christ, not Moses, the real Moses. Number two, it's established in the blood of Jesus, which is eternally efficacious, the blood of the Son of God. Number three, it's not based on the law, it's based on grace. And it's life-giving. Number four, it does not require you to work, it just requires you to believe. And finally, this is not limited to some 2,000 years. This covenant is meant not even just for the so-called age of grace or the age of kingdom. The new covenant applies for all of eternity. Now, I have some further good news for you, and that is this covenant. We've been using the word covenant today, has become a testament. You know, the Bible we have, it's not called the New Covenant Recovery Version. It's called the New Testament Recovery Version. With the help of this ministry, we realize, actually, there are four stages to this kind of, what do you call it, relationship or agreement between God and man. God, you know, we think God is kind of sloppy. He snaps his finger and things will happen. And when he is fed up with you, he changes his mind. We all think God is kind of like this. You are more than wrong. God is a super-duper lawyer, you know. God is very, very careful. That's how God is. It starts with a promise. Now, you can promise, but you can back off that promise. So God would do something further. He what? He would make it an oath. Oath. That's more than a promise. That's a promise with a certain kind of what? He's putting his credit on the line. You know what I mean? He's putting his good faith, his good name on the line. He's sort of swearing by it. But even that swearing, you can back off from it. So he entered into a covenant with his people. Now, covenant is not just something with an oath. It's something signed, something legally binding. And the blood makes it legal. Finally, this covenant becomes a testament by virtue of what? By virtue of Christ's death. Yes, he established a new covenant. But then after that, he went to die, didn't he? He went to the cross. Why? Because it is when one dies, whatever is a covenant becomes a testament. And testament means what? Means it's yours. It is what we call a bequest. It is a bequest. It's now not just still with him. The person who owned this wealth died, and he willed it to you with a covenant. And now, because of his death, all this inheritance is yours.
Amen.
Every bit of it.
Amen.
It's entered wire transfer into your bank account.
Amen.
And that is what we have today right here.
Amen.
You're saying, is this just a promise? Is this just an oath?
No.
Is this just a covenant?
No.
What is this? This is a testament, which means this is a bequest that is in your account.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
Well, I hope I'm not boring you. I'm almost done, so don't worry. When the Lord Jesus established this new covenant on the night of his betrayal, when he established the Lord's table with the bread and the wine, he said, this cup of the grape vine is the new covenant in my blood. Drink all of it. You know what this means, brothers and sisters? That means this covenant is for drinking. This covenant is not, it's for drinking. It's a cup. It's not a piece of paper. It's not even just some dollars in your account. It's a portion for you to drink. No wonder in Hebrews, when it talks about the new covenant, it talks about what? The promise of eternal inheritance. You know, Paul, when he was on the way to Damascus, God came to him and commissioned to him that he should open people's eyes, turn people from darkness to light, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. And what is the last point? That they may what? Receive inheritance with the saints. Let me tell you, that's the gospel of the New Testament. That means it's all yours. Hallelujah. It's all ours. And in another place in Hebrews, it talks about what? It is a what? It is a better possession, and it is one that abides. This is something eternal, and this is something what? This is something that is superior, better. Now here, I'd just like to say a word. You know, today, sorry to say, many Christians are in what? They are real believers. They really have received this new Testament. And all these blessings are theirs. But somehow, they like to follow the Jews and live like the Jews, meaning they treasure the outward physical blessings more than the unseen, spiritual, and mysterious blessings that are real. So today, sorry, you turn on the TV, you go to whatever. I'm not too much. What is being spoken from the pulpit, from the podium? If you believe in Jesus, if you have faith in him, if you know what I mean? You will, A, get better. physically. And if you have cancer, you'll be healed. If you're short of money, you get lots of it. And if you need a job, you have it. And all these, they unashamedly declare, all this physical stuff, are signs of God's blessing upon a human being. So hordes of people are drawn to that message. But tonight, I'd like to ask you all, what kind of blessings are those? Even if they're actual. I really doubt a lot of this stuff, meaning, you know, your teeth will be filled with gold, your leg will be lengthened, your cancer will be cured. You know, there was a lady recently in one of these things on a wheelchair and with, I don't know, couldn't walk. And the person comes up and did whatever they did and say, now you're healed. And this lady tried to get up. He couldn't. And someone held her and walked a few steps and he fell back into her chair and then he went home and got more sick. But still, this lady said, I still believe that my healing will come. It just hasn't come yet. I said, what is this? What is this? What are the blessings of the New Testament? It's what I just told you in the Bible. Amen? Amen. You remember what they are? Yes. Number one, the sins truly forgiven and taken away. Amen. Number two, what? God as the law of life. Entering into you and spreading in you. Amen. My, that is God giving himself to you. Amen. And number three, what? We will be his people in life, Amen. Not people in law. We are not his sons in law. We're his sons in life. And finally, we can know God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you have to have a vision to realize this is the greater blessings. Amen. These are the real blessings that God wants us to have. Amen. And only these blessings will make us new. Amen. You can be healed temporarily. You will still get sick. They even claim they have seen Lazarus. They have personally healed a few Lazarus in Africa. It's in the website. It's in there. Whatever. Even if you raised up Lazarus, even like that old Lazarus that the Lord Jesus raised up, still died. It was wonderful. But it's not permanent. It's not eternal. It's not the real thing. Because Christ at that point did not get into Lazarus. He did a great miracle. Absolutely a real miracle, unlike today, these fake miracles. Dear brothers and sisters, I really hope all of us saints in the churches would once and for all become clear what God wants. What is God's work in us? What is this new covenant all about? People today, in principle, Christians, are still wanting the old covenant and the blessings of the old covenant. How many are there who really sees this new covenant? May we see it. Amen. May we see it. Amen. And may we enjoy it. Amen. In our church life today. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Last year, I remember, I talked a lot about singing. Am I right? I still remember. I may be sick. I may not be cured of a disease. But the new covenant did not promise that. One day I will be cured entirely. That day will come when the Lord returns. We will even acquire a new body. That is part of the promise. But today, in this age, my brothers and sisters, to be healed is not the important thing. Even when I'm not healed physically, I am experiencing His renewing from within.
Amen.
The outward man is being consumed, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's real blessing. That's the new covenant. God is adding Himself to us. Not the physical things, but the spiritual reality. And I would just end in this way. After the Lord died, He rose. And He was transfigured to become the Spirit. And that is the life-giving Spirit, which is the ultimate expression of the triune God in His ultimate reaching of man. How does God reach us? By being the Spirit. And it is by this Spirit, that He comes into us to impart the very life of God into us, His believers. And today, the operation of that life in us, the growth of that life within us, is very real. You know what it does? One of the main things it does is that it constitutes all of us ministers of this new covenant. Ministers of this New Testament of life. Today, brothers and sisters, we can enjoy, and we must enjoy, this new covenant. Amen. With all the privileges, with all the blessings in this present age. Amen. How about this?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
What are you doing in the church life every day? Enjoying the new covenant.
Amen.
Every day. Even when I'm sleeping, He is still spreading. And eventually, I'm ending here, it is through this new covenant, that He will make us, and eventually even Israel, the earthly Israel, into one new creation. And that new creation will consummate in the new Jerusalem, which is in the new heaven and the new earth. God does not renew this universe by snapping His finger, by just saying, as He created the earth, recreated the earth, let there be light, you know. No, I tell you, in this new creation, this work of creation is from within. By life.
Amen.
And through His Spirit.
Amen.
And today we're in that process.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Are you happy about this?
Amen.
You know, next time when you carry this Bible with you, whoa, what is this? What is this, sisters? Huh? It's just some black words on white paper? What is this? Huh? These are all the blessings that God has covenanted with us.
Amen.
And they're all yours.
Amen.
You just need to claim it.
Amen.
Take it.
Yes.
Partake of it.
Amen.
Enjoy it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you know what is the result? You get younger. You get newer.
Amen.
You'll be renewed.
Amen.
To become as new as God is.
Amen.
We'll become the same as He is in life and nature. Amen. Okay, I stop here. I think there could still be some time for some sharing, huh? How about that? I would like to say, don't be afraid to share. I know the biggest obstacle is fear. Fear, especially fear of saying the wrong thing. Fear of failure, basically. Well, I would like to tell you that God cares less about that. God just wants to hear from you. You just say something from a sincere heart and from an exercised spirit so that we can all drink. Okay?
Amen.
Okay, just share something, please. Amen.